We're back in Ner Mitzvah of the Maharal, Chelek Aleph. Just to do a quick summary of what we saw last time, we saw the prophecy of Daniel, which talked about four different beasts that came out of the water. And these four different beasts, each one representing, we said, one of the Dalad Malchiot. We talked about how these Dalad Malchiot, these four kingdoms that come against the kingdom of God, that come against, that fight against Kavod Hashem, that they're already built into the Bria based on a Medrash in Bereshit Rabbah at the very beginning. Va'aret haita tohu vavohu v'choshech al panei tahom. That tohu is Bavel, bohu is Prasumadai, Choshech is Yavan, and al panei tahom is Edom. And these four Malchiot then are embedded into the Bria itself. That needs to be so. Take this for what it is. You can listen to the shir from last time to get the nuances of it. That every creation definitionally is lacking, even in the sense of an intrinsic lacking, in that it was created and thus required a creator and had a starting point. Every creation is imperfect or is lacking, even God's creation. But in the sense of that it's missing things, meaning whatever was actively created by God is perfect. Anything that was an act of creation is perfect. But there are certain things that God, quote unquote, so to speak, can't create. God can't create another God. God can't create another infinite being that doesn't have a creator and doesn't have a beginning. Right? Those are those types of paradoxical questions that exist when you get into the realm of God. Since God created a creation, it inherently had certain lackings that were intrinsic to it. Since the creation was created for a revelation of the glory of God, all creations reflect the greatness of their creator. It's an expression of the creator. Therefore, the whole world should be an expression of Kvod Hashem. And the lacking in the creation, which in this case manifests itself in the Dalad Galiot, the four exiles, is going to manifest in four exiles whose essence is to come against, to combat, to attempt to negate Kvod Hashem. Is that a fair summary of what we said last time? Anybody want to add anything? Good? Okay. Now, in classic Maharal Fel, he takes very seriously the concept of numbers. So we're going to get into why I understand there needs to be a lacking, that lacking manifests as a malchus, which is antithetical to Kvod Hashem. Why four? Why four? Why not one? One was good enough, would have accomplished the purpose. Why not two, three, five, 20? Why four? L'kach ha-malchiyot ra'oi shiyu dalid. Therefore, the malchiyot, it's proper that they should be four specifically. Ki ha-malchiyot hem ha-yitzi'ah mikvodo yitbarach. These kingdoms are coming out of the kavod of Hashem. V'hu yitbarach echad. And God is one. V'ha-emsa'i hu mityaches el echad. The center is always relating to oneness. Right, the indivisible center, the point of origin, that's always the oneness that's at the center, the core, the centerpiece. That's the oneness. Ka'asher ha'emsa'i bifrat hu echad. There's always only one center. You know what you have if you have two centers? You have two points that are not the center, which has a center point between them. A center definitionally is one. V'lakach Beit HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim. Therefore, the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim in general, which themselves are only one, v'hem be'emsa ha'olam. They're at the center of the world, and according to our tradition, that's the center of all reality. Ki ha'emsa'i hu misugal lahem. Since the Beit HaMikdash is one and unified, and Yisrael, Yerushalayim, is one and unified, it exists in the point of origin of the universe, which is one and unified. V'chein Yisrael shehem am echad. So too, Yisrael, in that they are a nation of oneness, misugal lahem ha'aretz shu echad bilvad. It's proper that they should receive the land, which is inherently one. Lefi shehu be'emsa ha'olam, in that it exists in the center point of reality. Klal ha'davar, davar shehu echad misugal lo ha'emsa'i. The general principle here is that something which is truly one is misugal, it's proper for it, the relationship to it is that it should be at the center. Vayotze min ha'echad, and this is where we're going to get back to the Dalet Malchios, that which moves away from, Yotze min ha'echad, comes out of, moves away from that oneness, that's relevant to before. Why four? Keneged Dalet Ruchot, sheish be'mitziyah min ha'emsa'i. Where do we see four come up constantly in Tanakh? We have the Dalet Ruchot Sheba Olam. Why Dalet Ruchot? Those are the four directions. North, south, east, west. Left, right, front, back. When you move away from the center point, you can move away in any of four directions. So Dalet, which is four, is indicative of spreading out to the farthest reaches away from a center point. Spreading yourself as thin as possible. And not limiting yourself, not constricting yourself, not tying yourself to that center point. The letters always reflect the essence of the meaning of the letter or the number itself as well. So what is a Dalet? If you look at the Dalet structurally, what is it? It's an axis. It's a plane. Right? Moving in all of those four directions. Even the letter Dalet itself is indicating a movement in all four directions. Right?
This is only focusing on a flat plane. Why doesn't it include the up down from the center?
Good question. I don't think things really spread out up or down. I think we're talking about, in the simplest sense, spreading out. You're only really moving out in the four directions. I mean, like we cannot get in planes and fly, but like you can jump up and down. But like when you're really talking about spreading out, on the simplest level, you're talking about moving farther away from the center point. Well, on a left, right, well, forward, back. Yeah, exactly. The four corners of the earth. The earth is round. What does it mean? The four quarters. It means the far reaches of the earth if you go in all four directions.
How does Dalet do that? The letter.
The structure of the letter Dalet looks like this.
Yeah, it's not.
It's an axis. It's a plane. Right? That's what an actual Dalet looks like in the script, but it's, if you open it up, it's coming out in these two directions and out in these two directions. There's the four directions. Okay? Thank you. Okay? You had a question?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
That was my question.
So,
in theory, it's two vavs coming together.
Yeah, no.
Two lines. Yeah. Melakacha malchiotim dalad, can I get dalad ruchot hayotzim min ha'emsa'i? Therefore, the malchiot are four, the four directions which are going away from the center point. Melakach. Darash min lashon tohu bavohu dalet malchiot. That's why it's learning out from the pasuk tohu bavohu vechoshech al pnei tahom, the four malchiot. Mipnei ki lishonot elu hem ba'im al hachisaron sheish b'bria, because these words are talking about the lacking in the bria. Tohu bohu choshech al pnei tahom umitzad chisaron habria nitchadshu elu dalet malchiot. And from this lacking in the bria, that's what put forth these dalet malchiot. So it's proper that there would be four terms there that describe the lacking of creation. And again, that lacking of creation that's fourfold would produce these four malchiot, which all come against Kvod Hashem. V'hem miyuchadim badavar zeh. They're unique in this way. Shemem shaltam yotzei min Hashem yiparach, that their rulership goes against or stems away from, moves away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad ki hem mevatlim achduto ba'olam, that they seem to be nullifying God's unity in the world. Meaning, if there's Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is the one nation in the one land representing the one God, you know what makes me really nervous? When another nation from another land emerges, fights us, overpowers us, and wins. That makes it look like, first of all, our one is not the true one. Perhaps even more damaging, that there are two. If there's something that can fight us, there's something else. That makes me wonder, is there truly one? Is there truly a center? Are we at that center point? They come against the definitional unity and oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that they can't be forever. It means that they're going to rise and fall like they do, and the oneness of the Jewish people will always endure. But they represent a coming against the oneness of God in reality, as represented by His people, and His rulership of the world, as is spearheaded by His people. Everybody's very quiet today. Good? Okay.
If we're looking at this all from a simplistic perspective...
I don't think we are at all, but let's pretend.
the simplistic in the complex. Meaning that, like you said, we're not expanding spherically, we're expanding planely.
Correct.
So, not to like jump too far away from everything, the only way we know that another entity can combat the oneness of Klal Yisrael, the oneness of God, is if there is a lacking from that entity. That if we do something to be pogame the Yichud, you could say, then it opens up opportunity for others to step in. But without that, then there is no force that can really penetrate that.
No, the idea that, I mean, historically, yes, meaning had we not sinned and left room for there to be Dalad Malchios, there wouldn't have been Dalad Malchios, assumably, even though they were embedded into the Bria, they may not have manifest. They may not have manifest. So we do also bring it about and let there to be room to come in when we lack a connection to the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So theoretically, the problem isn't its existence of the second entity. The problem is the existence of the second entity that's combating the...
Right. Well, no, the existence of it itself is a problem. But the existence, I mean, if in the times of Shlomo Melech would have had a Beit HaMikdash and the whole world would be... If the whole nation would have been coming and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu under Klal Yisrael with the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, if everybody would have been not like a dollar moving away from the center, but like a magnet coming glued to the oneness that's at the center, that there can be others as long as they recognize that it's all a movement toward the center and the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate tikkun, is a revelation of the oneness of God and a recognition of that throughout the world. Right? I mean, I'm extrapolating here, and I could be wrong, but the discussion of the fact that when a person wears tzitzit, that in the world to come, that the other nations will grab onto the tzitzit of the Jew. I'm quoting that correctly, right? So think about, what does that mean? That means that all of the multiplicity in the world will be grabbing onto a mitzvah that is then unified on the goof of the Jew. The four is unified in the one, and it's bringing in, on a literal level, all of the other nations to be unified in the one by that which we wear, which is divided by four. I've never seen that written anywhere. I suspect that that's exactly what we're talking about. Once you start getting into these things, once you're learning about what the essence of four is according to the Maharal, and then anytime you see four, you have to plug it in. It's necessary to plug it in. Let's talk about things that are timely. What's coming up that has four?
Seasons.
What's coming up that has four? Not the hotel. What's coming up that has four? Then, one on Sukkot. Arba Haminim. Four Minim. Why four? What are we doing on Sukkot? What is Sukkot indicative of?
Direction.
And Sukkot is indicative of the world to come. It's on a totally different level. Meaning it's the end of the process of the three Mo'adim De'oraisa. The Pesach, which is the Me'ayin Bata, where you came from. Shavuos, which is the story of history, which exists within the realm of Torah. And then Shavuos is the world to come. Sukkot is the world to come. And so much of Sukkot, if one looks deeply into Sukkot, it's all there, especially the Haftarot. They're all about Gog and Magog and the end of days. And the Haftarot are the biggest and most overt indication. But everything about Sukkot is the flavor of the end of days to it. And on Sukkot, we take Dalad Minim. Why? Because at the end of days, we're unifying all four and bringing them back to the one. So what do? We take four individual species, and the mitzvah is done by making them an aguda achat, by binding them together, by holding them together, by unifying them. by taking the seeming dispersal in the world and bringing it into one place, unifying it as one. Right? If you want to get really lofty, then somehow each one may be representing one of the letters of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. And finally showing the revelation that everything is just a revelation of Yud Kei Vav Kei when you bring it together, when you reveal that all things come together are just an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. But all fours have to unfold into each other. They all have to follow the same paradigm. Thoughts, reflections, comments, fours? Yeah? I'm even wondering now, just I'm thinking out loud, we're learning together, right? So we brought up that concept of by the tzitzit. Perhaps.
It's a Vodasura, I think.
What?
Kamara
Vodasura. Says what?
That one with the tzitzis.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. But I'm saying that the concept of tzitzit, I'm saying Bederach HaEfshar, maybe one of the reasons why there is a mitzvah of tzitzit in the first place is to show that even when things have four corners, to bind them back. And remember that it all has to be linked back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Four corners are very dangerous. Four is a very dangerous number. It talks about multiplicity, so we have to bind it back. We have to tie it down back to the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'derech HaEfshar. And that's why a beged, which doesn't have four corners, there's not that fear unless it doesn't wouldn't need tzitzis. Could be. Food for thought. But the idea is that there's so much food for thought that can jump out of these things once you start getting into these core concepts. Good. Sit on this or keep going forward?
You go forward.
You going forward?
I was trying to think about their fours.
Yeah, that's the fun part, is then you start to really unpack things. Okay, Tov, so let's go back into the text. Uvisiluk Dalad Malchiot Eile. When we finally eliminate, we remove these Dalad Malchios, Ne'emar. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yomahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. In that day when God is revealed as the true king, there's no more plural malchiot. There's just the melech malchei ha'melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed in his oneness. Then at that day b'yomahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad, everything will be one. We'll see a return and a clarification of the ultimate oneness with the nullification of the malchiot and the four. V'chol zman she'elu dalad malchios mushlim ba'olam, the entire time these four malchiot rule in the world, ein kvod Hashem yitbarach nigle ba'olamo, then the full glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be seen in his world. Lakach elu dalad malchiot mitzarach yisaron sheish b'birah, therefore these dalad malchiot are coming out of, they're stemming from the lacking that exists in creation. She'efshar she'yeh nimsa habriya b'shlemut hagamor. As we explained last time, it's impossible that any creation, that creation itself can be completely perfect. There needs to be some level of lacking because it's a created thing. As we elaborated on extensively last time, this lacking is not an active lacking on behalf of God. It's not an active imperfection on behalf of God. God is perfect and everything he does is perfect. Asher bara hakol, who created everything, rak mitzad ha'olam hanivraim. Rather, it's from the world that is created. It's from its createdness. The fact that it is created, that it is in essence a created thing, that inherently gives it a lacking. But nothing, everything that is actively created by God is all perfect. V'lirmoz al zeh ketav. Hinting to this, the pasuk says, Bereshit bara Elokim eit hashamayim ve'eit haaretz va'aretz hayta tov vavohu. Bereshit, let's go with in the beginning, even though that's a tough translation. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was tov vavohu. Ki haaretz hi batachtonim, the land is in the lower realms. L'kach hayta tov vavohu v'chol shechal tenetz ha'om, therefore it was tov vavohu and there was darkness upon the surface of the deep. Kol zeh chisaron sheyeh davak u'mitzuraf el davar echad. The kol elu shemot tov vavohu shelo haya habria b'shlemut u'more al chisaron hadavak b'bria. All of this chisaron is clinging to the land in the lower realms. And all of these words of Tova Vohu are talking about how the world is not complete, meaning that there's an essence of lacking, again, in that it is a created creation itself.
So can you apply from this explanation of the pasuk that because it says Ha'aretz Ha'isa Tov Avon, implying that Shemaim, by definition, is not lacking.
I think that that is a fair assessment. To see one more expression of this, let's actually take a look at Rashi, which quotes Ma'amar Chazal. Fantastic Pasuk and Rashi. They're all fantastic, but this one stands out for me. At the beginning of, I believe, Perek Dalet in Bereishit, the fourth Pasuk. No? No, the second. Sorry, the second Perek. Fourth Pasuk. Here we go. Eila Toldot HaShemayim Va'aretz. This is Bereishit Perek Bet Pasuk Dalet. Eila Toldot HaShemayim Va'aretz Behi Bar'am B'yom Asot HaShem Elokim Eretz V'Shemayim. These are the products of the heavens and the earth when they were created on the day of Hashem, God's making of the earth and heavens. And in that phrase, Eila Toldot HaShemayim Va'aretz Behi Bar'am, the word Behi Bar'am is an odd word to begin with, and the hay is small. So says Rashi, what's the deal with the hay being small? Behi Bar'am. He says, "Devar acher behi bar'am, behei bira'am," that God created the worlds with a hay. Shne'emar be Hashem tzur olamim. So Hashem created olamim, two worlds. Bivet otiot halalu. Meaning it says, excuse me, Bekah Hashem Tzor Alamim. Sorry. It's Bekah Hashem Tzor Alamim. So that could just mean that God created the worlds. If we look at it closely, saying no, Be Yud He did God create the worlds. With the two letters, the Yud and the He, did God create both worlds. V'lam Dechakan She'olam Hazen Ivra Behe, that this world was created with a He. V'olam haba nivra biyud. So if we assume Shemayim is indicative of olam haba was created with the yud. What is a yud?
It's the point.
The yud is the nakuda that we were talking about. The yud is the nakuda ha'insa'i. The yud is the origin point. The yud is a letter that's pure unity. It's totally undifferentiated. It's one. It's singular. It's the center. That's the yud. This world is created with a hay. What is a hay?
Yud and
a hey is the yud and the dalid. You've heard the Torah, the dreidel. The hey is the yud and the dalid. A dalid on the outside and a yud on the inside. That's what a hey is comprised of. A dalid and a yud.
I got it.
Yeah, that's good. Visual aids are good.
I got it.
The idea there is, according to the Svarim, that what's happening is that the world is really meant to be a hay. It's a dalid with a yud on the inside. Meaning when we look at the world, we see a dalid. We see a world of multiplicity. We see a world of diversity. We see a world that's differentiated. We see a world of dalid malchiyot. We see a world of dalid ruchot ha'olam. We see a world of arba kanfot ha'aretz. We see a world of four, of divergence from the center. The avoda of a Jew in olam hazeh is to transform, to see beneath, behind, through the Dalid, to the Yud that's within Olam Hazeh. To be Megale that the world, while it looks like a Dalid, is really a Hay. In what way is it a Hay? That it's a Dalid, but that even though things seem dispersed and differentiated, the Yud in the center is what binds everything together. The multiplicity of the world is really unified in its connection to the oneness that is Hashem. And that's what we're here to reveal. We're here to be Megalek Vot Shemayim in the world. To Megaled that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And therefore, His world is one. And everything is under His Hashkacha. And everything is an expression of Him. So the world is constructed as a hay because it has the illusion of a Dalid on top, but is really just covering up the Yud which needs to be revealed, and that Yud explodes in revelation when we move into Olam Haba, where there's only a Yud. That's a different way of saying V'haya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz bayom hahu yiyah Hashem echad u'shmo echad. That Yud will be revealed. Barur? Clear? Questions, thoughts, comments?
So how does the hay fit into it then?
The hay, meaning this world is seems to be a Dalet. That's why the Dalet Malchios here. That's what the Dalet Malchios is trying to teach us. The Dalet is a farce. It's really a Yud.
Hay.
It's a hay. Because it's really a Yud. Meaning, kilu, meaning the Dalet is masking the Yud inside, and that's what makes it a hay. A hay is more on. A hay teaches us.
So kilu, the world is masking God.
Correct. The, a hay teaches us that a Dalet is really just hiding a Yud. Cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good Muslim lesson. Good Muslim lesson.
I mean, that's the whole avodah of this world, is to be able to see a Kaddish Baruch Hu through the mask of the world, 100%.
That's good Muslim.
100%. So, let's... That was heavy. That was good. Let's call it here for today, and we'll pick up next week.